Presidential Transitions by George S. Corey. Let me get this out of the way straight out of the gate. My father is the man I most admire. In fact, I plan on dedicating my next book to him. Sorry, Dad. I guess the cat's out of the bag. My father was educated at the best schools and has been a top professional in the world of finance. He is also a lifelong what we call CNBC Republican. More importantly, he raised us kids with a sense of honor and dignity and instilled in us all a deep love of this country. With his generosity, humor, and kindness, he has led by example his entire life. A quick story to illustrate this point. On my 21st birthday, I wrecked my dad's brand new car, but he didn't scold me or even raise his voice. He was just happy that I walked away untouched. He put his hand on my shoulder and said, "You're okay, so I'm okay. Don't worry, we'll work this out." In that moment, and in so many moments like that throughout my life, I have felt my father's hand on my shoulder, whether he was physically present or not. Then, Trump happened. It was bad enough that my father voted for Trump in 2016, but I and my siblings more or less wrote it off as an excusable lapse in judgment, a momentary one. But in the aftermath of the 2020 presidential election, he revealed that he had once again voted for Trump. He put his thoughts to us kids in a letter he titled, "Why I Voted for Trump." The Democrats wanted us to vote based on Trump's personality. I didn't like Trump either, but there were more important issues for me, like law and order and the economy. There were fewer Trump yard signs or bumper stickers than anyone expected to see in Republican neighborhoods like ours because people were afraid of vandalism or even gunfire into their own homes. In Kenosha, the so-called peaceful protesters caused $50 million of property damage. In Minneapolis, it was estimated that 100 nights of peaceful protests caused $500 million of damage. This wasn't caused by Republicans. None of the Democrat mayors or governors in blue states and cities took decisive action against the rioters. Instead, they adopted catch-and-release programs for lifetime criminals and repeat offenders. This misguided practice, combined with years of fiscal mismanagement and high taxes, has caused a flood of citizens to flee to better-run red states. The Democrats are also in favor of higher taxes and more regulations. Trump oversaw a booming economy before COVID-19 hit, an economy he energized with a historic tax cut and wholesale gutting of regulations that had been choking the economy. Democrats cannot expect to achieve this level of growth. And growth is the only way to get out of this pandemic recession. I have never been any of the things the Democrats and the media accuse people like me of being, like a racist or a sexist. What I have been, and what I remain, is a law and order, fiscally conservative, anti-regulation Republican who has no time for political correctness and who had no choice in 2020 but to vote Trump. And I'm not alone. This time, it was more difficult to reconcile my deep love for my father with my disdain for how he voted. It's something that I, and I suspect many other Americans, are still grappling with. No matter how hard I struggled, I could not find peace or solace. Then, one night, I found myself awoken from the sound of the television blaring in another room. I arose from my bed, as if in a trance, and followed the sound of a familiar fatherly voice booming through a microphone. I walked, practically floating, into the next room and realized the voice was emanating from President-elect Joe Biden. By now, I realized I was in a dream, but I was in no rush to awaken. Now I was experiencing the kind of surreal, out-of-body sensation that the writer in me had caused President Trump to experience, as he came face to face with other presidents of the United States, past and present, in my book, presidential conversations. Biden was at a podium, a bank of U.S. flags in the background, with Vice President-elect Kamala Harris at his side. Her arms were crossed, regal, like a Praetorian guard, a knowing smile beaming across her face as she looked admiringly at the next commander-in-chief. Together, they projected strength, serenity, and confident determination. Biden spoke in his warm, quietly soulful voice. Since the election, I have been saying that we need to come together. I have been urging Republicans and Democrats, not only in Washington, but in our towns and communities, even in our own families, to reach out to each other. Remember, folks, we're all Americans. And we have always been able to move on as one American family from even the most vicious campaigns and most contentious elections. Look, I've been in politics for most of my life. I know that people are passionate on both sides. But that's part of what makes us great. And I know that presidential transitions, just like life transitions, can be rough. Sometimes they even hurt. But I call those growing pains. I hear it when people ask me, Joe, how are you going to deal with the 74 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump? Biden looked down and smiled to himself. Well, folks, what if we started thinking about it as healing rather than dealing? And what if we did more than just think about it? He then extended an open palm. Healing is going to require action. You know, I get a lot of strength from my faith. Ecclesiastes tells us, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." So we've got to do the work, folks, for the soul of the nation, for the good of the nation. Where do we begin? Well, we begin to heal our divided country the same way we heal our fractured families. Biden then looked directly into the camera, and it felt like he was looking at me. We start with love and forgiveness, and knowing that in a family, love means forgiveness. We start with a belief in our better angels as Americans, and a recognition of this great nation's capability for progress and even redemption. We're facing tough times, folks. Joblessness, our climate crisis, and of course this deadly pandemic. But love will push us forward. Love will embolden us to forgive. It's love that will bind our wounds. And we've got to start by reaching out to the people we love. Then, hopefully, by reaching out across the aisle here in Washington for the benefit of the American people. All the American people. Biden then reached for Harris's hand. And as they raised them up together, he proclaimed, "We are going to work for all Americans. The ones who voted for us and the ones who didn't. And we will lead this country together under one banner. Our hearts are full with an abiding love for this country. Our fists are clenched in determination, and our heads are held high with pride." When I woke up, it was morning. The sun reflected magnificently on the freshly fallen snow. It was suddenly so bright, I had to squint. And on this morning, this new day in America, I resolved to call my dad for the first time in many weeks and ask how he's doing.